Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, we're looking at verse 14 through 16, and then we're going to go into chapter 5 a little bit. And the title of the message is The Comfort of Christ, Our Great High Priest. The Comfort of Christ, Our Great High Priest. The apostle here says, see then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. I know this. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we must remember this, that we are but strangers and pilgrims in this world. We are strangers and pilgrims, and at times in this life, we become weary. Our faith becomes low. Our love becomes low. The graces of God seem low, and we get bogged down with the daily tasks of this life. We get wrapped up in all the cares and problems of this world, and oftentimes, like the Church of Ephesus, we forget our first love. We leave our first love. We forget the reason that we are here in this world. And we lose our way. We feel estranged from God. That's what was taking place in this church. They were being persecuted. They were being drawn away by the old religion of the Jews, and they were being tempted and tested. And Paul here is seeking to encourage them to hold fast their profession of faith. And so as I preach this tonight to you, my hope and desire is this, that God would by His grace make us to hold fast. Seeing this, that we have a great high priest, and that this high priest is passed into the heavens. This high priest is successful. Our high priest has accomplished the will of God, accomplished our salvation. Let us therefore, no matter our difficulties, no matter our troubles, no matter our trials, let us hold fast our profession of faith. Hold fast to faith in Christ. Now listen, if you are in this life and you have many troubles, if you're in trouble, if you are estranged from God, if you feel as though the world is pulling you away from Him, I pray that God tonight would refresh you, would give you some comfort and assurance that you might hold fast to Christ, that you might hear His Word and be refreshed. I'll tell you this, this world's a desert, isn't it? It is a vast wasteland. And I often get weary. And I need refreshment. I need encouragement. And I know that you do too. This is why God said to His men, comfort ye my people. Listen, saith the Lord, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. What? That her warfare is accomplished. That the Lord hath received double for all her sins. Well, where did He receive double for all our sins? Seeing then this, we have a great high priest. This is where the Lord comforts His people in this. Seeing we have a great high priest, who is it? Jesus, the Son of God. That is our great high priest. This message of Jesus being our high priest should give us great comfort, great assurance, and great joy. Great joy. Seeing then we have. Listen, we've had this high priest from eternity. We have this high priest right now, and we shall forever have this high priest. He's passed into heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, what? Let us hold fast. Hold fast to who? Christ. Hold fast with all that you have, with all that is in you. Lean hard on Him. Fall on Him. Rest on Him. Matter of fact, that's the whole point of the chapter, is rest. Let us labor to enter into our rest. What? Seeing we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Those of you that are listening tonight that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, He is your great high priest. Now, there are many things concerning the priesthood of Christ that we could talk about. There are many things that could comfort us. I want to give us three. I want to give us three things about this high priest so that you might have a strong consolation. You know it's God's will for you to have a strong consolation? Strong consolation, strong comfort, strong assurance. It is God. Paul said this in Hebrews 6:17. He said, wherein God willing more abundantly. What is He willing? To show to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath that by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie, that we might have what? A strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Have you fled to Christ? That's a question, isn't it? Have you fled to Christ for refuge? Then you pay attention. This fact that He is your high priest is a strong consolation. It is a impenetrable refuge for you. And so I've got three things to say about this priesthood. First of all, I want you to know this, that Jesus Christ is a qualified high priest. He is a qualified high priest. Secondly, we are going to see this, that He is a successful high priest. And thirdly, we are going to see He is an immutable high priest. So let's look at these three things. Qualified, successful, and immutable. First, He's qualified. We know this according to the Word of God. All men need a high priest. All men need a high priest. What is a high priest? What's the job of a high priest? Simply this. It is to mediate between God and man concerning the things of God. Concerning the things of God. That's the job of a high priest. And God is always determined to deal with men according to a mediator or a representative. He dealt with all men in Adam as a mediatorial man, a representative man. And when Adam fell, all of his race fell with him. Even so, Christ was ordained of God to be a mediator. That's what a high priest is. He is a mediator between God and man concerning what? The things of God. The things of God. Look at that in chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, for every high priest is taken from among men, is ordained for men, listen, in things pertaining to God. What things? That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now, the high priest in the Old Testament, these were men ordained of God to offer sacrifices necessary for the sins of the people, listen, according to the law. According to the law of God. Therefore, by this precept we see that all men need a high priest because of this. All men are sinners. High priests deal in things and sacrifices for sinners toward God. They offer sacrifices for sinners. And seeing this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, therefore what do all sinners need? We need a high priest in order to offer the acceptable sacrifices that God has required. We are all sinners. We cannot approach unto God without a mediator. One that stands between us and God. Now listen, tonight, if you're here without Christ, if you're without Christ, listen, you are your own high priest. You are trying to offer your own sacrifices to appease God. You will try to bring your own righteousness to God and offer it. You will try to bring your own works to God and offer it to God for acceptance. And the result of this will be the eternal justice and damnation of God upon your soul. You have approached God not according to the mediator, Jesus Christ, but you've come by Moses. You've come by Mount Sinai. And listen, the problem with that is you've already under the condemnation of God. You're already condemned. Therefore, all your offerings, if you are your high priest, all of your offerings are contemptible in the nostrils of God. I was just preaching that this last week in Isaiah chapter 1. God says this. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord. To what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices to me? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and fat of beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs. When you appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" You know why? You're not a high priest. You're not qualified. You're not qualified. I'm here to tell you of a high priest who's qualified. Your gifts and offerings are not acceptable because you were not qualified to be a high priest. Therefore, your gifts and offerings are contemptible. The high priest to God and things pertaining to God's justice and the satisfaction of God's holy law, this high priest must be qualified. What are the qualifications? Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the only qualified high priest that whose sacrifices and gifts are acceptable to God. He's the only one. Only one. What are the qualifications? There are two. Look at your text back in chapter 5 again. Listen to what God says. For every high priest is taken from among men is ordained for men, ordained of God. In other words, if you're to be, the only high priest that's qualified is one's ordained. One's that is appointed of God. And secondly, he must be taken from among men. In other words, there are no angelic high priests. No angel will ever be an acceptable high priest because a high priest must be taken from among men. Look at this in verse 4. He said this, "No man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, as he saith in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." No man in the Levitical priesthood ever took this honor except God ordained him. Like he says, Aaron. You know, Aaron didn't ordain him to be in himself to be a high priest. And Moses didn't ordain Aaron to be a high priest. In Exodus 28 verse 1 it says, God said, "Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." You see, who did that? God did that. God made them qualified by ordaining them to be high priests. Now, sinful as Aaron was, and he was a rascal. He was. Before even Moses got down, he done made a golden calf. Had and was allowing the children of Israel to commit fornication in the middle of their camp. Yet God says, Aaron's my man. Aaron's the one. He was made an high priest. He didn't take that on himself. Remember, the law was not meant to save anyone. The law was only to be a shadow. Aaron, You see, he could never really save anyone. Being a high priest of the law, he performed the things of the law, but that was not to save anyone. He was only meant to be a type and a picture of the only one that's qualified, Jesus Christ, the only truly ordained high priest that could remove sin. Go to Hebrews 10. Just look at this real quick. You can hold your place there. We'll be back over this way in a minute. Hebrews 10 and verse 1, the Scripture says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which were offered year after year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." These things in the law concerning the high priest, they were only a shadow of good things, but not the image of those things. Jesus, this Levitical priesthood, was only a type of the priesthood of Christ and not the very image of the thing. It was just an image, a picture. It wasn't the real. And just like Aaron was ordained of God, but his order was not, but Christ was, Jesus was like Aaron, ordained of God, but his order was not of the tribe of Levi. What did the Scripture say? He said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of" what? Melchizedek. Melchizedek. You see, that law was only a picture. It was only a type. Aaron was a picture of, he was a high priest, but he wasn't the great high priest. Listen, Jesus didn't take this office on himself, nor any other office but he was ordained of the Father in an eternal covenant to be our high priest. Is that not a wonderful thing that God made him our high priest? He said, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." This is the eternal Son of God, and he said, "You will be a high priest forever." I'm so thankful he didn't ordain you. I'm very thankful. And I know this, you are thankful he did not ordain me or Aaron to be the great high priest. But he did Christ. Before the worlds were formed, the eternal Son of God was made our high priest. He was ordained of God to be the only great high priest. The only one. Psalm 110, that's where that Scripture is from. Psalm 110, verse 4, "The Lord has sworn." The Lord has sworn and will not repent. What is he swearing? He's swearing this: Jesus Christ, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, being the wisdom of God, was set up from the eternal counsel of God to be our high priest. He was set up to be our mediator, and the Lord has sworn and will not repent in this matter. Concerning our high priest, that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, he is not a priest after the law. He is not a high priest of the law, but a high priest according to the covenant of grace. And what does it mean by Melchizedek? Well, Melchizedek is a man that has no recorded beginning or ending in Scripture. Now, we know this. He did have a beginning. He did have an ending as a man. But in the Scriptures, it gives no record of his beginning or no record of his death. That is to picture Christ's priesthood, an eternal priesthood that never had a beginning and it never has an end. Thou art a priest, how long? Forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And this is because he was ordained of God to be a high priest. See, he's qualified. He's ordained. But the second thing is also true. It must be taken from among men. For him to be our high priest, he must also of necessity be taken from men. Now listen, Jesus always was, always is, and always will be God. God, very God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that Christ is always God. Anyone denies this, denies Christ, denies His salvation, they don't know Him. But also this is true. If you deny that He's God, then you can't be saved. You don't know Him. You don't believe on Him. But also this is true. If you deny His humanity, you're lost. Matter of fact, John says you're Antichrist. Any spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but is Antichrist. It's a spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because our high priest must of necessity not only be ordained of God, but must also be taken from among men. In the person of Jesus Christ, listen, are hid all the treasures of wisdom, all the treasures of knowledge, all the treasures of true joy and contentment, all the true riches of grace and peace. But listen, none of those can be conveyed to us except our high priest be taken from among men. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might be made rich." What does He mean by that? Does that just mean He had money and then He don't have? He's not talking about money. He's talking about His humanity. Through His poverty and the condescension of God the Son becoming a man, that was His poverty. And only through that poverty could we be made rich in wisdom, rich in righteousness, rich in redemption, rich in sanctification, rich in redemption and righteousness, even as God made Him to be. Even as God ordained Him to be our high priest so that we could have all these things, He must of necessity become one of us. That through that poverty, we might be made rich. Back in your text, He says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are. How could He be that except to be a man? And this was for your sakes. This was for your sakes. This great condescension, our Savior became holy and completely man. I can't wrap my mind around that. I just truly believe that. I know that to be so. Why? Because that's the only way He could be my high priest. That's the only way He could intercede for me. Great is the mystery of godliness. What? God was manifest in the flesh. So, you take comfort this night to this. Jesus Christ is the only high priest who is ordained of God. And He is only high priest who is taken from man. For what? To save His people. To save us who believe. If you believe tonight, you take comfort. Your high priest is well qualified. He's well qualified. Now, secondly, we know this. The high priest, Jesus Christ, our high priest, is successful. What good is a high priest if he's not successful? That'd be worthless. If we had a high priest that only made salvation possible, that would be worthless to us. We need a high priest who actually accomplishes those gifts and sacrifices that He had to make those gifts and sacrifices acceptable to God. Every high priest that was ordained of God to mediate between the people has done so according to a covenant. Now, right? In the Old Testament, they were ordained according to a covenant. It was a covenant of law. Aaron was ordained a priest, a high priest, according to the covenant of the law. But listen, Jesus Christ is the mediator and high priest of a much better covenant. A much better covenant. The Old Testament priests, they mediated in the covenant of law to God for man. The job of the high priest was to offer gifts and sacrifices daily according to the covenant of the law. But did you notice something about the job of these high priests? They were never finished. They were never finished. This covenant, it was because this covenant was not something that could spiritually remove sin. It was a carnal covenant. God made a carnal covenant with the nation of Israel. It was a physical covenant. It was a covenant that may be touched. And when God gave that covenant, He spoke of physical blessings for physical obedience. Israel obeyed that covenant and they received physical blessings. That law was never meant in any way to remove sin by the offerings of these priests. These priests, no matter how well they did their job, their offerings could never remove sin. Matter of fact, Hebrews 10:4 says this, not possible. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. That old covenant was only meant to show the weakness of human flesh. It was meant to show the inability of man to please God. It revealed our need of a high priest, our need of an offering for sin, but by no means could it ever remove sin. That's why Paul said, therefore, by the deeds of the law. Now you just put any deed of the law you want to. Sacrificing, the Ten Commandments, you could put the dietary commandments, you could put the governmental commandments. Have whatever you want to put. By none of the deeds of the law shall any flesh be justified. Why? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. When that high priest stood up there and slit the throat of that animal, you knew this. You need a high priest, you need a sacrifice, because you are a sinner and guilty before God. You need that. That's what the law could show you. But the blood of that animal never removed sin. They were a priest according to a covenant that could not take away sin. Oh, but this high priest was a priest after another covenant, a better covenant, a better covenant. He is a better high priest than those because he is a priest of a better covenant. He is a mediator and high priest of an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. That law was ordained under Moses. It wasn't an eternal covenant. It's not an eternal covenant. You see anybody sacrificing today? You see any of those high priests over there in Jerusalem doing any of that stuff? Why? That covenant is gone. It is done away with. But this high priest is after a better covenant because it was a covenant established before the world began. It's an eternal covenant. It is a covenant where it's a covenant of grace where God says, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. It's a covenant ordained of God, decreed of God, that requires nothing from His people. It's something God ordained and purposed, and it's something that only our high priest accomplished. And this is the result of His covenant. He said this, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. Can the law say that? You find anywhere in the law where it says that? No. This is a new covenant, a covenant of eternal covenant of grace. Now the important thing is, did Christ actually accomplish this covenant? Did He actually fulfill this covenant? I want you to take comfort tonight, you that have Christ as your high priest, because Christ has offered a better gift and a better sacrifice than those high priests. Listen, the gift that He offered is this, the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness, and the sacrifice He offered was Himself, His blood. Those Old Testament priests, they could never take away sin. Why? Because they themselves were sinners. They themselves were sinners. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 3 it says, and by reason hereof He ought, as for the people also, Himself to offer for sins. You see, that high priest, he had to go offer for himself first. And then he would offer for the people. Because he was a fallen son of Adam just like everyone else. But my high priest was no such thing. My high priest was without sin. Thus he was able to offer the gift of righteousness. Listen how. by his own obedience. When Jesus came into this world, he was already righteous. He was already without sin. Why then must he continue in the flesh? You see, he was making a righteousness. He was earning a righteousness. How? By his own faith. By his own faith. Paul says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Listen. Which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, my high priest was making a righteousness. He was earning a righteousness. By his obedience, by his own merits, by his own faith, his own trust in God, he was earning righteousness as a gift for his people. Was he successful? Romans 5, verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who? Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. See, that's what he was doing for his people. And secondly, he not only as a high priest was to offer gifts, but a sacrifice. Jesus offered a sacrifice that once and for all satisfied the justice of God that was against us. The Old Testament priest. I sometimes try to think of how many sacrifices you think they offered. Minimum two a day. There was a morning and evening oblation. If they had nothing else, they had those two. But then there were people bringing in their offerings. They were offering these sacrifices, people being cleansed of this and needing this and wanting this. So they'd have all these gifts and sacrifices. They had to tend to the tabernacle every single day. And once a year, the high priest had to offer that sacrifice. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 1 it says, verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and worldly sanctuary. Go down to verse 6. It says, now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest always went in the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for, listen, himself, and then the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, what does this mean? It's had a meaning, it had a purpose, the Holy Ghost thus signifying, thus telling you what it means. It means this, that the way into the holiness was not yet manifest while that first tabernacle was standing. In other words, they didn't quite understand how God could be just and justify the ungodly. They knew that that would somehow be by the Messiah. They believed in the Messiah that would come and accomplish this, but those pictures were not yet fully clear. Not yet manifest. He said, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were both offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed. Oh man, that's a law, isn't it? Imposed on them. Until when? The time of the Reformation. Until the time of the great high priest. Until Christ should come and fulfill these types. I love that great day of atonement. What a beautiful picture that is. They didn't quite see it. They didn't quite understand it, but we can. Why? Because the day of Reformation has come. Well, Scott and I were talking about this, about how that the Old Testament was like shadows and darkness. And now that Christ has come, it's like the sun is at its zenith. And everything, all the shadows are done away with. We see them very clearly what they were meant for. That old high priest, he would take that blood of another into the holiest, into the very presence of God, and sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant. He offered that goat for the sins of the people. But it couldn't do anything. It was just a shadow. It was to be offered as a type, as of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was to offer himself as our great high priest, that has passed into the heavens with his own blood to make an everlasting atonement for the sins of his people. I want you to notice the finality of what Jesus Christ did. Look at verse 11 of chapter 9. But Christ, being come, being sent of God, being qualified of God, being come an high priest, ordained of God from eternity for good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. What is that tabernacle? It's His body. That's what that tent pictured in the Old Testament. His body. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered in. How many times? God put one finger up. He's right. Once He entered in once into the holy place. And what did He do? He obtained something. He got something. That reminds me of John sees Him in the book of Revelation when the Lamb comes up to the throne of God and He takes the book. Now, nobody else is worthy to look at the book, much less touch the book, much less take the book. But when Christ, the Lamb, offered Himself, He went to the very throne of God and took it. What did He do? He obtained eternal redemption. He obtained it. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Listen what the high priest says. The high priest said, then said he, lo, I come. This is the high priest ordained of God. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And when he does this, he does something. He takes away the old covenant to establish the second. By the which will, the will of God, the thing He came to do, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, what? There's that word again. Once for all. Once for all. Well, every high priest standeth daily ministering, often oftentimes the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered, there's that number again, one sacrifice, for sin. What did he do? He sat down. Isn't that what our text says? Having a great high priest that is passed into the heavens? What is he doing in heaven? He is sitting down on the throne of God. He sat down on the right hand of God expecting something till his enemies be made his footstool. Why? Because this high priest by his one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I know this. You and I, we should have no confidence in ourselves. We should never look to ourselves for any acceptance with God. You should never depend on any work that you have ever done, any feeling you have ever felt. But you can depend on this. Your high priest has forever satisfied God's justice against your sin. Let us hold fast our profession of faith, seeing we have right now a successful high priest who has passed into the heavens. Our great high priest has fulfilled and accomplished the work and will of God, and by his one offering for sin, he has atoned, he has redeemed, and he has sanctified every one of his people. That should give you comfort. And this last thing, you should take comfort in this, that your high priest is immutable. When he sat down, no one is going to get him up. No one's going to take his place. In the Old Testament, I can imagine the fear of these these men in the Old Testament, couldn't you? They had a good high priest. You had this high priest that was just faithful. He was one that loved the people. He desired the glory of God. And all of a sudden, he died. And they had no idea what his son was going to be like. They didn't know if they were going to get a good high priest or an evil high priest. They didn't know if they was going to get an Aaron or one of his sons. Remember his sons? They were horrible high priests. God killed them, actually. They didn't know what they're going to get. But you take comfort in this. Don't you worry about this. Your high priest never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the things done by our high priest are forever. Because he is eternal, all the things that God purposed him to do, all the things he has done, cannot and will not be undone. I like that. I was reading this earlier in chapter 4 of Hebrews, in verse 3. He said, "For we which believe do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." You see, these things were accomplished. These things were set. They were done. They were immutable things. This sacrifice that he has offered, this gift of righteousness that he has given to everyone that believes, is as immutable as he is. He has passed into the heavens, seated at the right hand of God, immovable. You know what this means? That your standing before God is forever the same. And therefore, if Christ is your high priest, I want you to understand this, the love of God for you is always the same. God cannot love you any more than He already does. And He will never love you less than He does. Dear believer, take heart. You are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that comforting? To know that underneath, you are girded underneath. That you can't go lower than the arms. The arms are always under you. No matter how low you go. The arms are always under you. They're always sustaining you. You know why? Because your high priest has finished the work. Your high priest has finished the work. If you believe in Christ, you should know this, that He, His love, His grace, His priesthood is immutable. And I know this, you who are believers in Christ, we still are children of two natures. We are still children of two natures. We have the flesh and the spirit. And they are constant warfare with one another. This is why we feel defeat. This is why we feel such failures. We are. We are failures. We cannot do what we would. We would be holy. But because of the flesh, we cannot. The flesh would be totally sin, but because we are made holy, He cannot. Therefore we say, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? We are often cast down. But here is your comfort. Comfort your hearts, believer. that Christ has died for your sins and ever lives now to make intercession for you. Look at your text. Go back to there. Read it again. For we have an high priest, qualified, successful, seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And know this, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He understands you are but dust. Let us therefore what? Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. What child of God does not need mercy? Where do you find mercy? You find it in a high priest that is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. You find it in a man that is qualified to intercede. Whoever liveth to make intercession. Therefore, because we still need forgiveness, what does John say? If we confess our sins, He, our high priest, is faithful. I'm glad He's faithful to forgive us our sins. But listen, it's not just faithfulness. He's right. He can forgive your sins without any imperfection in Himself. Why? He's already paid for them. He can freely forgive them. Be comforted, therefore, believer, that we have therefore open access to God continually. The veil has been rent. The way has been opened. And right now you have access to God. Because we have an high priest over the house of God. He is right now our Savior, the head of the church, ruling over His people. Therefore, let us draw near with a pure heart of full assurance of faith, not wavering. Why? Our high priest is qualified. God chose Him. He became a man so that He might be a faithful high priest and offer what? Gifts and sacrifices. And He did. And He was a successful high priest. He offered the gift of righteousness for His people by His own faithfulness. And He offered the gift of sacrifice, redemption, by His own blood. And because He was successful, He is now seated at the right hand of God so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in need? You have a great high priest. I pray that God would reveal this to us. I need to see this so that I might find rest. Labor to enter into His rest. How? See, you have a great high priest. By faith. God, give us such faith and comfort our hearts that Christ has accomplished all our salvation.